Welcome to the first episode of Connect First, a podcast that gets after leadership and its core. So I'm Command Sergeant Major Sean Carnes. I am the First Corps Command Sergeant Major and the host of this podcast. And I want to introduce my special guest because this is our first episode with our first guest. Very honored to have Command Sergeant Major Tony Powers.
Hey, thank you, Sergeant Major. How you doing? And I'm Sergeant Major Powers from the Triple Nickel, the 555th Engineer Brigade here on JBLM, just providing engineer support to America's First Corps, Sergeant Major.
And by the way, he does a great job at providing the support. Great engineer, Sergeant Major, and great teammate here within First Corps. And so today I want to talk a little bit about leadership. And you've heard me say plenty of time, you know, leadership, you know, my definition of leadership is a relationship built on inspiration, trust, and serving and caring for others. So I kind of want to talk about the relationship and the trust piece of that. You know, and then from my experience is, you know, it's building that relationship. Because if you build a relationship with somebody, you'll get that trust, you'll get that inspiration from that. You get commitment, you get buy-in. I mean, there's a lot of great empowering words right there, right? So, you know, building that relationship with your soldiers, building that relationship with your leaders, you know, personally and professionally. Now, some people will say, well, personally, no, I don't mean going to clubs with your soldiers, right? That's not what I'm looking at. But, you know, you can have a five-minute conversation with somebody to help start building that relationship and get to know them personally and professionally both to help them out. And that starts that, you know, building that trust with that soldier, with that leader to help them out. So, you know, a little bit of your experience on, you know, building relationships that helps you build trust within your organization.
Well, Sergeant Major, you've heard me talk about it quite a bit in the multiple engagements we've had throughout the little bit of time I've been here within the Corps, but I think it begins with that initial contact with the soldier from the leader. And I believe that it's sponsorship. Just me coming here to JBLM, the Sergeant Major Plummer, the Sergeant Major I replaced here in the Triple Nickel, he received me. And the way he did it, now I have a relationship with him and I can talk to him about anything. The same with my commander. He reached out to me as soon as he found out I was coming. And as a leader, now I have the ability to communicate with my commander both on a personal and professional level. And I think that exists all the way down to our team levels for our soldiers. So if a young sergeant has a new soldier coming in, they reach out early and often and say, hey, how you doing? And they get to know them as a person and as a soldier.
Oh, man. And you say a very good point and word there is first contact, right?
That's right.
So it might just not be sponsorship, but even, you know, like when I go down into motor pools, right? I go down there and, you know, I have this little ranger chair. So I'll go and sit it down and I'll sit down and just talk to the soldiers.
Absolutely.
So that could be first contact too, right?
That's right.
And they say, you know, having them hard conversations. I just say, have a conversation with them, right? I mean, just talk to them. Because once you're authentic with them, then they start opening up to you and you have a conversation. And by the way, when you're having a conversation, guess what? You're developing them and they're developing you.
Oh, absolutely.
And Sergeant understanding about your organization, right?
Yeah, Sergeant Major, I think your point about, you know, the fact that you said your ranger chair, it's you're relaxing the environment as a leader. So you're not standing at a arms crossed or, you know, very leader-like stance and making yourself approachable, which is key, right? And it's inviting the conversation from the soldier. A lot of times we as leaders, we get into the mode where we're talking at people instead of talking to people. And I think your point is very valid, Sergeant Major.
Yeah, so, and the reason I sit down, so I'm not at that authoritarian, right posture.
Absolutely.
I'm sitting down. I'm getting down that third level relaxing with them and talking to them, having that conversation. Because you're exactly right. We want to come from that authority position. Instead, how about just coming from a position? They know you're the Command Sergeant Major.
Absolutely.
They know you're a sergeant. They know you're a staff sergeant, right? Just having a conversation with them, because that's what you want to get. You want to be authentic to them to make them feel comfortable to open up to you. So guess what? They drop the defenses because now they're you're being authentic and getting them comfortable with you, and they're going to open up and give you information that you want to be able to talk about and discuss with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I found that, you know, once you've got that environment set, Sergeant Major, it's really about asking questions from the leader's point of view as opposed to talking. So you find a lot by just saying, well, so tell me about your family. Okay, well, you said, you know, you have a girlfriend, tell me about her. Or you have a boyfriend or a husband, a wife, or whatever it is. How's mom? How's dad? So you establish the relationship through questioning, and then you can go into your career stuff, right? So before you did this, you did X, Y, and Z. You were an operator for this piece of equipment or this weapon system or whatever it is. And then you'll learn more about that soldier and just asking the questions in that relaxed environment. The soldier will typically loosen up just by talking. And then you can come out with the direction you're trying to take the conversation.
Nope, agree. Especially the family. I mean, that's an easy one to start open up with and talk to them about their family and where they're from. Right. What high school did they go to?
Hobbies.
I mean, you can keep going on hobbies. I mean, you can keep going on with the conversation and you're spot on about the questions, right? Ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Continue to ask questions.
Absolutely.
The thing that we've got to get better at is, you know, they talked about this word active listening, but we don't hear what they're saying. We'll listen, but we're not hearing, because if you're hearing what they're saying, then you're not, I'm keep my mouth shut, right? Hear what they're saying. Don't be ready to answer. Instead, hear what they're saying to be able to ask a question off that to keep the conversation going.
And I think that's kind of, you know, in the Army Sergeant Major, we're always very mission-driven. Most of the times when I'm listening to something, whether it be a meeting or an informal conversation or formal, I'm already thinking about my response. And instead of sometimes I have to tell myself to like mentally be quiet and just listen and receive. And I think that actually works for me when I apply it. I admit that I do like let my mind crowd my thoughts. But I think that happens to soldiers at leaders at all levels. And once they're able to receive and actually truly hear what a soldier is saying, it'll help them identify with what the soldier is saying, which helps for the conversation. And then two, it'll help them create a sense of ownership and commitment to that soldier. You know, because as a leader, it's, you know, why we have a mission, which is a part of like the Army's definition of leadership. But we're also here to serve that leader to make sure that they can replace us later on.
Oh man, hey, especially the commitment part, right? And so just not the communication, but then think also about emotions, right?
Right.
Someone does something bad and you get that phone call. You're automatically upset.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Automatically. And so, you know, what do we want to do? We want to go and start chewing butt. And I've learned, I mean, it took me years to understand this, calm yourself down. Don't send out an email, right? Don't pick up the phone. Mm-hmm. Get the emotions down. And then make the phone call. And talk to them in person, and why did this happen?
Right?
Because now I'm calm and I'm asking why, instead of just going in, because I don't know the whole story.
Right.
Besides what you might got from an email or a phone call, I don't know what's going on down there, so ask why. Start a conversation with them to understand them, to figure out what's going on, so you can help the situation instead of hinder the situation.
Yeah, so Major, that I've actually learned that lesson the hard way. There's been multiple times where I just really kind of started digging into a soldier because of facts that I thought I knew. And then when you start having the discussion, you realize that you're incorrect. So you have to, as a leader, you have to create that environment to where you can have the discussion. And it's better to have the discussion before you lose your cool. And then find out there was no reason to one, lose their cool. It's not helpful anyways. And then two, you can actually, like you said, affect the situation. And a lot of times, it's not as bad as it may seem in the first place.
Oh, you're exactly right. And I learned that, you know, where I started really learning when I was a platoon sergeant, and I had four strong squad leaders.
Right.
And, you know, one of the soldiers jacked something up on the weekend, right? And so I just, you know, I called the squad leader, and it was a weekend. Called him in and just started, and he was like, "Sergeant, here's what happened, and here's how this happened, and what we're doing for the way ahead." And you're exactly right. I'm like, I'm an idiot, right? In the back of my head, I'm like, I'm an idiot.
If
I would, and that's why I started learning about, hey, let me ask the why question instead of, because there's always why behind it in situations going on. Mm-hmm. Again, it goes back to that, hey, let the emotions out, right? and think about the wine and calm yourself down to have that conversation with somebody.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the same thing, similar to Sergeant Major. I want to say I might have been a platoon sergeant as well. But, you know, I grew up very hot, corporal and sergeant. Mm-hmm. It was like this, and that's how I handled problems. And I want to say I was probably a staff sergeant when I started seeing bigger picture and realizing that, one, my soldiers had a lot of good input, whether it be mission related or, you know, getting the team together, whatever it is. And then I also learned that their problems are human problems, right? Soldiers don't just wake up and say, you know, I'm going to go do something pretty bad today. Usually it's life happened, and a leader just needs to hear that sometimes. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad news. It could be for good news too. Sometimes you just need to listen to the good news instead of jump to the congratulations. Let them explain why it's important to them, and then you connect with that soldier. It makes things a lot better.
Nope, you're exactly right. And I did that backwards on the connection piece. So I had this sergeant, he was my team leader, and he was older than me, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm the squad leader,
that's right?
And you know, I'm in charge, I don't care what you say, and everything like that, mm-hmm. right? And it took me a few months. He actually invited me over to his house,
okay.
right? Got the defensive down,
right?
Started having conversations, getting to know each other, and I look back, I'm like, I was a jerk ball to him,
right?
To where if I'd have listened to some of his experiences, since he was a little bit older, mm-hmm. might not may rank as fast as I did, but listen to some of the experiences, what he went through could help me out and helped out the squad.
Right.
So I started again, learn about the trust, mm-hmm. learn about the relationship and how important that was. Then I trust him,
right.
and I started empowering him to give him more authority than what I was giving him before, right, to help him out. Just going, him inviting me over his house. So he did mm-hmm. what I learned from him to invite people over the house, break bread together, get the defensive down to be able to have that conversation and start trusting each other, building that relationship.
Absolutely. And Sergeant Major, I would say, you know, I completely agree with everything you're saying. What I would say, I think we struggle with at the junior levels, and I did as a corporal, as a sergeant, and probably a little bit as a staff sergeant, is how do you let down your defenses or connect, not do both? Like, how do you maintain standards and discipline with your soldiers and achieve mission success and be connected to your soldiers? As a corporal, I thought my job was to smoke soldiers to get things done.
Exactly.
I seriously thought that, mm-hmm. so that's what I did, and people praised me for it. So I was like, okay, keep doing it, right? But it didn't work very well. When my soldiers weren't committed, commitment versus compliance, they were complying all day long, of course. And I think it's the war. Our time in the war, so much time in combat, having to really get to know your people because you don't have anyone else. I think that helped me as a person. And I think right now in a time outside of war where our soldiers don't connect with their leaders or leaders with their soldiers, I think they struggle with disciplinarian, coach, teach, mentor, connect. And I think that, you know, it's us teaching them how to do so through things like this and other engagements, but it's how do we get our junior NCOs to understand that it's okay to connect, and that still makes you effective as a leader, even including disciplinarian.
I agree. And I think, you know, having that relationship with somebody, that when you have the relationship with somebody, that soldier knows when he or she did something wrong.
Absolutely.
Right.
Because they're committed.
Because they're committed.
Right.
So I don't need to be the disciplinarian.
Right.
I can have a conversation with them mm-hmm. to help develop them through that situation.
Right.
Right. Again, we want them to fail. Mm-hmm. Right. And then, you know, we pick them up.
That's right.
Dust them off a little bit and point them in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I was the same way.
Right.
Right? Where I thought yelling, I mean, I was a yeller.
Right.
Because that's what everyone else did.
That's right.
And so I would say, hey, they're successful.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this is success. Again, it took me into a bound of platoon sergeant to understand that wasn't the right way to do stuff, mm-hmm. to have a conversation with somebody and caring for them. No matter if they do something wrong, whatever it is, we still have to help him or her through that situation so they get UCMJ action.
Right.
Okay. Now we have to still care for that soldier or leader, right? Mm-hmm. And point them in the right direction, help them overcome what they just got in trouble for.
And Sergeant Major, I would actually say that that's the time that you need to be more engaged as mm-hmm. a leader, is when, you know, a subordinate is dealing with something life or army related in a negative fashion. UCMJ, chapters, divorce, you know, many, many life things that go on, and that's when the leader really has to engage. You know, some folks get in trouble in the Army and they're dismissed. That's the wrong answer. That is wrong, because when they're a human being, period, and there's life after the Army, and quite frankly, a lot of people bounce back from UCMJ or other things, and they become better soldiers because, like you said, you know, we learn from our failures. If we're successful at everything, we'll never learn, right? I think it's very, very valid to talk that, hey, you know, when your soldiers are going through hard times, that's the most important time to engage, even if you think they were like ridiculous out of line for whatever thing is that happened in their life. That means you're needed more than when you needed them to go do this thing.
Agree, 100% with you. Because, you know, and you heard me say this before, I mean, someone getting chopped out of the military, we still have to help him or her through that process.
That's right.
To help them be successful at their next career, at their next adventure,
absolutely.
Right? Maybe the Army was just not for them.
Right.
I mean, go out in the civilian population. I mean, people jump 3 to 5 jobs in a year, right? Maybe the Army was just not the career for that person.
That's right.
So let's help him or her find the career in the mm-hmm. civilian population that's going to be for them, right?
Right.
Again, we got to connect with them, understand. Mm-hmm. I mean, simply having conversations with people that, you know, I find out that, hey, they want to stay at JBLM, right? Because they have family here. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, I want to go to 25th ID because I have family. Or I want to go to Fort Carson, Colorado. Well, and that was like having a 5-minute conversation.
Right.
And simply, if you're able to get him or her to Fort Carson, him or her to stay here at JBLM or go to 25th,
that's a win.
Powerful.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, then your retention is going to skyrocket.
That's right. That
guaranteed that soldier, that leader is going to stay in the military because we helped him or her out.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of times that happens, Sergeant Major, and you know, a soldier gets out of the Army with a bad taste in their mouth. Well, that soldier is an ambassador for the Army, in the Army or not, regardless of how they left the Army, whether it was on good terms or bad. If a leader takes care of that soldier getting out of the Army, they'll probably be a good ambassador for the Army. We need more soldiers. Like, you and I are going to leave one day, and we're going to need somebody to come take our spot. So, and it's just that those connections last. I still talk to my old platoon when I was a platoon sergeant. We talk all the time. We're on Facebook and all kinds of things, and those connections matter. There's been probably times where I made them mad because I chewed them out for whatever, but the fact that we were connected as a team, as a family, we still stay connected, and every one of us love each other like we're brothers.
Oh, man, and that's powerful, right?
Absolutely.
Especially when we have all the social media platforms nowadays, to stay connected.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And I'm all about getting on there and staying connected with people. Now, some people mm-hmm. say, you know, hey, I don't have a Facebook page. I'm all about having Facebook, Twitter, right?
Right.
It's about how you use it to stay connected with people, right?
Right.
That's the key. It's about connection and helping each other out.
You're absolutely right. I'm not good at Facebook and Twitter. But I am on Instagram, and I learned in my last job that connecting with soldiers, you need to connect how the soldiers communicate. You and I will drive across posts to talk to you or anyone in your team if I need something, as opposed to call, an email, or an Instagram post, because that's the way we were raised to communicate. I do it with your staff all the time. I drive all the way across posts from North Fort to Main Post just to go talk to Sergeant Major King or someone on the staff. Because that's effective for me. But our soldiers don't communicate as easily that. That's not true for all, but it is true for general. They're on Instagram. They're on Twitter. They're on TikTok. We can't do TikTok, but they're on TikTok. And they communicate, and their attention span is dedicated to videos. And I say there, I watch those videos too. And I'm in my 40s, Sergeant Major. So it's very captive to see a quick video, read a quick post, and now I understand the message. And I think that those social media platforms are very powerful, and our leaders could take seriously take advantage of them to help get their messages across, to influence folks to do the right thing, whatever it is we're trying to do. And sometimes the truth is in the comments. If you read the comments, that's usually where the truth is.
Oh, yes. No, you're exactly right. The challenge that we have, as I see it, is we going back to the emotions, guess right. what? We do the text, right? Mm-hmm. We do the email when our emotions are high.
Right.
And then guess what? Then people are reading that and taking it out of context because you sent it out that way, but you are not the one reading it.
Right.
Right? Instead, we send it out because my emotions are high, and then they take it wrong and obviously post on WTF, whatever. Then we're using the platforms wrong.
Correct.
Instead of letting the emotions down and pick up the phone instead and calling people. Or, you know, doing the text, but in an unemotional way.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, then they take it not out of context.
You're 100% right, Sarmager. And I think that message is loud and clear. You never text, email, tweet, IG, whatever it's called, message, Facebook message, nothing when you're angry. Because it doesn't work. Nothing is going to be good about that. You need to maybe type it out and delete it. Find out the rest of the story and then respond. Verbally, if possible. Anything done over social media should not be negative in nature. It won't
agree.
Work.
Agree. No. And then, you know, as you were saying about the post, right? And soldiers read that. Mm-hmm. What we need to help them through, because then they take that's the truth.
Right.
When most of the time it's only part of the truth, i.e., you know, somebody will post in there and it's part what doctrine says.
Right.
Then what I do is when they come to me and say something about, hey, this is da-da-da-da, I said, oh, really? Well, let's look in doctrine and read it all.
Absolutely.
Instead of just a piece that someone tweeted you saying this is what doctrine says. Oh, that's what doctrine says, but you got to read the rest of it to understand it.
Absolutely. So
right? And then that's when we, you're building a relationship, you're developing them, and they're like, hey, Sergeant cares for me. Right?
And it builds trust.
Builds trust, right?
Absolutely.
Commitment, buy-in.
Absolutely.
I mean, that stuff's powerful.
Yep.
As long as we talking to them and helping them through that and showing them to get better.
Right. And Sergeant Major, you're absolutely right. You know, if I think back to my career and I think about the soldiers that I'm still connected with or folks that got out of the Army that I'm connected with, I've never had anyone come back to me and say, hey, I really appreciate you chewing my ass or being a hard ass. Right. However, I do have a lot of soldiers, most of them leaders now, or soldiers for life, that have said, hey, I appreciated that time that you did whatever. And sometimes I'm like, did I do that? But what it was is just a connection. And I have those leaders too. I've had, you know, my first squad leader, that guy took a personal, like he was personally invested into me and the other members of the squad. And look at me now. I'm a command sergeant major. Like,
very successful.
It worked because he built my foundation, and that's, I think that's key, is connect with your soldiers now. So one day they're going to be someone, whether it be in the civilian sector or in the Army, it doesn't matter. They're going to be someone. Hopefully, you're part of that solution and not part of the problem that holds them back from that.
Oh, man. You know, so my first team leader slash squad leader, because he's my team leader first, then became squad leader, Sergeant Johnson, took a vested interest in me, and you're exactly right. So we did a 25-mile foot march, and you know 25-mile foot march just suck, right? And there was fallouts. I mean, there was, you know, at the 82nd, you know the 82nd, a lot of fallouts. And there was like five of us who made it out of the platoon, five of us. And I was one of them, you know, PFC, well, I was Specialist Carnes at the time. And so, you know, we get back, we're cleaning up everything like that, and Sergeant Johnson calls me to his room. And you know the deal whenever you're like, okay, what'd I do wrong? Again, automatically negative things in my head, right? What'd I do wrong? What'd I do wrong, right? Mm-hmm. Go in there, and he was like, hey, I just wanted to, you know, counsel you. I'm like, then my negative is really up. I'm like, okay, what'd I do wrong?
Right.
And he was like, hey, I just want to counsel you. You did a great job today. He actually counseled me positively. He's like, hey, you did a great job today. You're one of the five who made the 25-mile foot march. Great job, we appreciate it. And I was like, that was the first time I ever understood about that counseling can be positive.
Right.
And I think all counseling be positive, but we automatically put in our head it's going to be negative.
Right. When you say event oriented, everybody thinks negative counseling. Matter of fact, I don't even knew it. I didn't even know it was called event oriented until I think PLDC. But I was like, negative counseling, negative. No, it's event oriented counseling because there's a plan to help it become a positive solution, right? And, you know, Sergeant Major, you talk about your first leader and how he impacted you. Mine was Sergeant First Class Paul Ray Smith, at the time Staff Sergeant. There was times where, you know, private powers didn't show up on time to PT. So, you know, I was late all the time. Surprised I'm still in the Army. But anyways, he would dust me off. But afterwards, he would sit me down and talk about, you know, what is, you know, why am I late? You know, it came to the, it was not why am I late, like give me excuses. Like, are you going to bed on time? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you eating healthy? Are you waking up? Like, what's your method of waking up? And then he literally helped me figure out how to, like, get to bed at a decent hour, wake up at, like, you know, I was a dumb private that didn't know, right? At least that's the way I felt. But the fact that he sat down and talked to me through it, yes, he did dust me off. I was, like, doing iron mics and all kinds of crazy stuff, and I'm aggravated too, you know? But he set me down, this guy that I looked up to for everything, because he was just, in my eyes, he was great at everything. He set me down and talked to me about it after he got done, you know, dusting me off. I thought the whole day was ruined at that point. No. He set me down and he developed me. And then there's many other things, but, you know, that foundational, that trust that he built with me in those small instances that, you know, now later on, you know, 23 years later, I still use things that, you know, Staff Sergeant Paul Ray Smith taught me because of situations like that.
Oh, man. And so that's what, you know, a lot of leaders need to understand. Where do we get most of our leadership from is experience.
That's right.
Or watching people, mm-hmm. right? Just like Sergeant Johnson, Staff Sergeant Sarnowski, Sergeant mm-hmm. First Class Frias, Sergeant First Class Overby, right? I mean, right. Exactly like you remember your intuitives. I remember the ones who mentored me and helped me through, you know, getting to me to where the position I am now, right?
Right.
You know, the first time I did CQ, Staff Sergeant Sarnowski was in there with me all night long, helping me through figure out how to be a CQ, right?
Right.
And then next time, come in every once in a while. Inspect what he expected. Hey, are you doing what I taught you?
Right.
And then the third time he took the training wheels off and let me run with the ball, right?
Right.
I remember that stuff. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, a leader building the relationship with me, but caring for me and developing me to become the CQ and the leader that I need to be while on CQ.
Yeah. And I think there's a little bit of, like, as a leader, you said it earlier, we also learn from our soldiers. I have some soldiers that I've led that I actually have helped my foundation as a leader. And I think that's especially true when we talk about officer development. Our NCOs that are in our formations right now are developing officers. If you talk to any great officer, they don't talk about their CSMs or their first sergeants, they talk about their platoon sergeant squad leaders. I had this great squad leader that was in first squad in my platoon, and he was amazing, and I learned all these things from him. Or my platoon sergeant taught me all these things. And that we're talking about full bird colonels and general officers. Mm-hmm. That means that their foundation was set by a sergeant. And now they're amazing because of those basic things. So I think for, you know, we're talking about junior enlisted soldiers, are the soldiers we lead, or officers that we influence. You know, they influence us as well.
Oh, agree. I think, and again, about going down and having a conversation with them.
Right,
I mean,
absolutely.
Shoot, they're developing me as right. much as I'm developing them.
Absolutely.
And the interesting piece about it is they don't even know that.
Nope. No clue how many.
They think we're having, you know, a right. conversation, which that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's development going on there, right? Informal
right.
development that they don't even understand. So I agree with you 100% on the platoon sergeant thing and how powerful that they don't understand how powerful they are, just not with their formation of soldiers and leaders,
right.
but also with that newly given to them lieutenant.
That's right.
Right? And how much example that they were setting for them, mm-hmm. for the future of them, i.e. General Brunson talks about his platoon sergeant all the time.
That's right.
Wow, he's a three-star general.
He's had several sergeants major and first sergeants, and he's talking about his platoon sergeant, right?
Exactly.
That's impressive.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Sergeant Major, your point about learning from our subordinates, that it happens all the time. I mean, last week I was talking to one of my mass sergeants who will be a sergeant major any day now. And he was, you know, going through some things and just the way he did it. And I was like, you know, just the way he carried himself with certain things and how professional he was. That is not how I am in the situation that we were in this moment. But take notes. It's still happening today, and it'll continue to happen through our careers. So it's just, you know, do NCOs understand that? That they feel like you're in this position where you've arrived, right? And we mm-hmm. don't want that. We don't want to arrive. We don't want to arrive like, look at me, I'm the corporal, or I'm the sergeant, or I'm the first sergeant, sergeant major, or whatever. You want to become a part of a team that's a part of the solution where you're actively learning from those you lead and from those that lead you, right? And then doing that, you'll connect. And that's, you know, trust, right? Cohesive teams are built on trust. And that's exactly what we want. That's what all the Army wants. Cohesive teams built on trust.
But it, you know, goes back to your initial point about sponsorship and receiving them, right? I mean, that's where everything kind of starts. And my impression of a unit, how I am received, and then how am I integrated?
Absolutely.
Very, very powerful. And you know, we're getting better at it, but we've got to get better at it and, you know, change some of the stuff so we receive them and understanding that's their first impression of a unit, whether a leader coming here or even a private straight out of AIT, right? First impression. So we have to give them the right impression saying, hey, this is a great unit, right?
Absolutely.
Because you probably have heard it plenty of times. People leave in different units are like, I love JBLM,
right?
Because they received me. They'll remember that, how they received and were integrated into a unit.
Absolutely. First impressions are lasting, Sergeant Major. And that's, you know, you hear it a lot, but it's true. It's absolutely true. And I think it goes for the soldiers and the families, of, you know, whether that be, you know, spouses and children or, you know, moms and dads and brothers and sisters. When a soldier is received properly, whether it be, you know, initial contact through sponsorship on the phone or an email or some sort of video means, whatever, that's great. It makes you feel welcome. But then you arrive and then you go through that onboarding process. And there's something that I think the Army got away from. I actually had an NCO tell me not too long ago. I was telling them to work on their reception integration counseling. And they're like, Sergeant Major, you mean initial counseling? I'm like, no. Those are two separate counselings. And they're like, no, it's not. Well, it is if you read the new the ATP that it's spline counseling.
Right.
It is one of the event-oriented counselings is the reception and aggression counseling. And it doesn't need to be a robotic typed out thing that says, here's where H2F office is, or EBH is here, and chaplain's office is here, and first sergeant's here, and whatever. It doesn't have to be that. It could be bullets, and let's go take a walk. And while we're doing that, let's get to know each other. Right?
That's powerful. And so you go back to, you know, we have doctrine. Mm-hmm. It's a guideline, right? As you were saying, the counseling doctrine, ATP 6-22.1. Mm-hmm. And it gives the, you know, what you should have in the reception integration counseling.
That's
in it.
It does.
A guideline.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me years to understand this. Again, I used to use that. But it goes back to, hey, don't speak from here. Speak from here, mm-hmm. right? And that goes including in your counseling. Put in there what you think that soldier needs to help start building that cohesive team.
That's right.
Right?
Absolutely.
Again, I think you bring up a great TTP is, hey, just let's talk about things. Let's walk around here. Let me go show you where your company is, where the H2F facility is. You know, let me drive you around and show you where some of these programs are at.
Absolutely.
Wow.
That's powerful.
Tell me that's not powerful.
It's powerful, right, Sergeant Major? I mean, and then, you know, we talked about sponsorship before that, is nobody is going to be upset with like, hey, how you doing? I'm Sergeant Powers. I'm your new squad leader. You're about to join the best squad in the Army. We're so excited to have you. Hey, tell me about your family. And in that initial conversation, the soldier is going to get off the phone and like, Mom, I just talked to my squad leader. It was really weird. I didn't expect that. And now they're excited about going somewhere. Because even now, even when I PCS here, I've been already 23 years, I'm still a little like, hey, how things work at JBLM, a little nervous as you get into it. But the soldier will arrive, whether it's their first duty, second duty station, doesn't matter, feeling welcome. And they're going to hit the ground and be like, hey, Sergeant, I'm here. What do I need to do? He's like, oh, too easy. I'll meet you over at wherever and we'll go do these things or whatever. I'll take you to the reception integration center or whatever it is, right? It's making them feel a part of the team. Because once you're welcome, then you're willing to do whatever is needed. Because you're on the team. You're committed now. Now it's not like, oh man, 06 because somebody lost a thing. Now we're doing a 05 formation, 06 formation instead of 630. It's a, hey, there must be a good reason the sergeant said to be in a 06. And hopefully he tells me why. But I'm coming in because I'm committed to my team, right?
No, and so it goes, you know, as we talked about, most people, when they're going to their first unit, whether EIT or even a leader coming here for the first time, right? It's like the first day in kindergarten,
right?
You're anxious. You've heard stories, mm-hmm. right? Some bad, some good.
That's
what
right.
do you believe, right? And so that phone call would be very, very powerful and help out. Hey, my squad, they're just talking. Okay, now we've changed probably a negative thought to a positive thought.
That's right.
Now they're like, okay, I want to do everything I can for this squad leader.
That's right.
Because he or she reached out to me and talked to me.
And the squad leader is displaying, hey, I'm willing to do whatever I can to make sure you're successful. So it's a commitment from both. It's a contract between the soldier and the leader. That's what it is. It doesn't even have to be said. It's just known because, you know, our actions speak louder than our words. I think it's absolutely one of the most important things we do is receive our people. And then it bleeds into everything else.
Exactly. Hey, you know, I really appreciate this discussion with you. Talking about leadership and, you know, able to provide our audience information and experience from us to help out future leaders or even leaders now to continue better. So I appreciate this discussion with you today on the first podcast. Thank you very much for everything.
Yes, honor. Huge honor.
And I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in to Connect First Podcast, where we discuss leadership at its core. You can find Connect First on all your major podcast streaming platforms. Follow First Core on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for information on upcoming episodes, as well as all things First Core. Rate, review, and subscribe to us on YouTube and click that notification bell so you'll know exactly when we drop a new episode. Till next time.